Good evening and welcome to the first Naked Football Show in 2009, and I hope you all enjoyed the festivities. Joining us on the show tonight, we welcome Terry Holden.
Evening.
And joining Terry is England goalkeeper David James.
Good evening.
And of course we welcome our very own Phil Hamm.
Hello.
Chesterfield finances a possible trip to Chelsea and anything else you wish to bring up. Southend. Yeah. So send us your thoughts to studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on this lovely little number, 077 978 00712. Isn't that fantastic? Who wants to start? Terry? Young Terry? You haven't been on for a while, have you?
Well, if you want to talk about
Chesterfield.
I wasn't there.
So. All right.
was it a political protest or did you just not?
No, I haven't been to a cup game for years.
Wait,
I mean, half the clubs don't take me seriously until they get to the fifth or sixth round, and I don't take it seriously either nowadays, so I just went and saw a non-league game.
Did you? Who did you go and see?
Cambridge City against Chippenham.
Good?
That's a fair old game. I can't quite understand why Histon, only about 3 miles away, was off, because the Cambridge pitch was in perfect condition, so that's one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of do feel, I mean, obviously the fact there was only 12,000 people there Saturday does tend to tell that tale, doesn't it?
12,000 was a good crowd as well.
Yeah.
If you look at the...
Chesterfield brought...
They were fantastic. I think they only paid on the day as well, that were their fans, so they did fantastic. 1,300, something like that, I think I've read somewhere.
I was particularly impressed with them, I have to say, and... But given that, I mean, they brought more people than Birmingham, didn't they?
Yes.
Birmingham's probably brought about 5, 6...
Well, Birmingham only getting 15,000 at home at the moment, so...
I was looking at the stats today on attendances in this division, and we're quite relatively high, aren't we? We're higher than everybody... We're higher than Birmingham, we're higher than Sheffield United, which is, you know...
For stadiums that have got high attendances, or capacities rather than ours, we're doing well.
But, I mean, you're right about the FA Cup. It does seem to have sort of lost its gloss.
It's lost all its gloss, especially at the early stages.
Yeah.
I mean, when the teams, you get to the fifth round, you suddenly think, we might get into Wembley, we might get into Europe. Then the interest rises.
And then last season, we had, like, three championship teams or whatever in the semi-finals, and everybody was like, oh, well, they had the opposite argument then.
Yeah.
You know, none of the big teams have bothered to put their teams out, and nobody was actually enjoying the fact that it wasn't the big four represented.
It did give a chance
for somebody else. See, it's one of those, you want a small team to make it all the way, but you still want the big teams in there for the entertainment factor. And
what you don't want is a lopsided final.
No, that's it.
Yeah. We want to see Richard Naylor up against Didier Drogba, don't we?
It'd be entertaining.
It would.
I mean, yeah. Hopefully
you'd have a reason for diving and rolling around, at least.
I'm just saying, the two of them in a boxing match would be quite... both sort of very physical specimens, I think, in football in terms. So Chesterfield game itself, I thought it was a very... Actually, I summed it up, I thought, in the paper with drab first half, two goals came at the right time, saw the rest of the match out, nicked another one at the end. Summed up the game. I don't think there's anything else in
it. Yes, it was a fairly predictable display, I thought.
I said to someone at half time, I said, we'll get a goal shortly after the break, and then get another one, and that'll be done and dusted.
That was the main thing. We got the lucky penalty, we got a second one after that, and that was it. If we hadn't got the second one, it dragged on, it might have been a cup tie, but once we got the second one, that was it. They gave up, they kind of exhausted themselves. But they did look very good for half an hour, I think. Chesterfield equipped themselves well.
Yeah, they did all right, but when we played Portsmouth last year, Portsmouth fans probably said the same thing about us. So, well, we just gave it a go for the first 20-15 minutes.
We've been like that in cup games, haven't we? We've kind of been there but not got the goals. And then Portsmouth did us by the one goal, didn't they? And I think Bolton a couple of years ago, they had three chances and put all three away, didn't they?
Typical cup tie and typical attendance and all that kind of... And there's really not much else you can tell on the game, out of the game other than that, really. There was no kind of players introduced, were there? And
no, but Jamie Ward looked kind of lively, but I wouldn't think we'd go in for him. He looks quite small.
No, too small, I thought. Simeon Jackson, however, for Gillingham, who a lot of people would have watched on Sunday against Aston Villa, I thought looked quite decent, actually.
That's it. What Danny Haynes should be, perhaps?
I thought he actually looked a bit more like Kevin Lisby, because he spent a lot of time coming...
No, there was a lot more running involved.
But he came short a lot, didn't he? And he had a good touch. I think he's probably got a little more pace than Lisby.
Yeah.
He's obviously, 8, 9 years younger than Lisby. But, I mean, the other thing, of course, he looks very similar to David Johnson in that, you know, he's born in Jamaica and is kind of aiming to play international football for another country. So 5'7", I think, as well, similar sort of height. What did you think of him? Did you think impressed?
It's always difficult to say from these sort of one-off TV appearances where obviously they're raising their game against them and showing off that you'd have to see him sort of for a few weeks in playing at that level
the week in,
to
week
see
out.
Whether he can do it, whether he's a bit like Danny Haynes, you know, flash in the pan type thing, but not very consistent.
I think he's got more to, I think it looked like there was more to his game than Danny Haynes. I mean, he's probably not as quick as Danny Haynes, but no one is.
I don't think Danny's going to do anything more than play wide, whereas obviously Jackson is more of a central player.
I think Grant Clegg said the other week he will play in the Championship. Mark Stimson said as well. Yeah. And I think that, you know, he does look as a typical sort of.
Price is right, it might be worth a game.
Well, And I mean, you know, you look at these Stockport players as well that we're supposed to be interested in. McNulty, left back, and. Owain Fonn Williams. Who I mean, I can see the logic of a goalkeeper.
Liverpool and Man U goalkeeper, wasn't a youngster.
Yeah. And I can see the logic of a left back as well as cover. Can't you?
That's it.
So would that be to release Shane Supple on loan? Or
I think that's the idea.
Then they've got to send him on loan somewhere where he's going to play.
Well, that's true.
Not Scotland.
Stockport, perhaps. If we buy their goalkeeper and then send Supple off for that. I think Jim's quite good friends with Jim Gannon, the Stockport manager, I read somewhere. So it might be a kind of something to do. But they're in not in a great financial state, so we might pick them up on a bit of a bargain price. Mm. But McNulty, I think, is quite highly rated as a left back, but also as a centre half.
Yeah, and he's only 23, 24, so he's that right kind of age.
So he's sort of quite young.
But had enough years to actually, you know, league experience.
Yeah. And you know, I think he'd probably come in as cover. We haven't got left back cover at the moment, have we? We've got David Wright, who's done very well, but he's a right sided defender. Ben Thatcher's the only left side left back, if we're going to let Kurt Robinson go out again, which I think we are.
That's it, and he's not playing enough games, Thatcher is at the moment, so we do need that cover.
Yeah. And of course, we've also mentioned that Dan Harding's probably going to go away.
Yeah, one of those.
Somewhere or other. And Matt Richards is probably going to go they'll probably both go to Southend and Brighton, probably, once everyone starts negotiating
in the press. Talk about, well, we know he'll be cover for this, this will be cover that, and you think, well, we've got such an enormous squad, we've got to get rid of a few before.
But that's true, but there's certain areas where we've got a lot of players and certain areas where we haven't, I think. I think we've probably got too many sort of central midfield players and too many strikers, I think. But
when you're playing four strikers on a pitch and one of them's playing at right back, that's...
I don't think John Walters will probably play right back again, will he? But I thought he did well. I've seen worse.
Yeah,
I've seen players play worse at right back. I remember Titus playing right back once. It was absolutely appalling. I mean, I could have done a better job.
So is that left side of the pitch? I think it's an English problem, just English football full stop, is the lack of left-sided players.
And
I think we are, because, you know, obviously Ambrose going back off of loan now, and
but he wasn't left foot.
And then you've got Quinn, who plays on that left side of midfield. And if we're not going to have Harding and Richards back, then that left side, the left back and left midfield is looking a little bit fit.
And Billy Clark, of course,
even with the large, even with the large squad that we still got.
I think we'll bring in a left. I mean, certainly the plan was in the summer to bring in a left sided midfielder.
Yeah.
There's sort of a number, you know, Scatchell being the obvious one that we targeted, and for whatever reasons fell through. I think it was the fact that he wanted to play in the top division in Germany because of his international aspirations at the age of, what is he, 28, 29, something like that.
I say, when
he
was looking at.
So, but yeah, I think they'll certainly look for someone or other on. It's just a case of finding them. Have we got anything on the old watch list?
We just certainly do. This is from Steve Bamford. You pretty much answered the first part of his things. He's on asked about potential transfer targets. You talked about Jackson and the keeper from Stockport.
I think the left back actually is probably more likely from what I get.
Right.
But the goalkeeper, certainly. We want a goalkeeper if Supple goes on loan, because I think Lewis Ward is the only other goalkeeper at the club.
If we want to keep Supple, we've got to get him out on loan.
He's saying we're struggling to shift Richards and Harding to Division 1 teams. Does that suggest we buy mediocre players on Championship wages?
I think those situations with those two and Billy Clark, probably, and Liam Trotter, is a case at the moment that people are sort of saying, oh, we can't afford the fee, we can't afford the wages, but gradually as the transfer window goes on, it'll all kind of be settled. And I would expect probably all four of those. I'm trying to think if there's any more out on loan. But Bowditch may go to Brentford, may end up somewhere else. Casement looks like he's going to Wickham, so
hopefully they actually get to kick a ball there.
Which would be nice. Mm. Peter Taylor tried to sign him this time last year at Stevenage, yep. but he didn't fancy going to Stevenage, apparently. So, but clearly his career is at a point where he's going to go, because I don't see that there's any chance of him playing for town.
It's a shame, because he was one of the brighter ones. But
yeah, he just needed to grow. But I think that was the thing.
A lot of our youngsters have got the talent, but they haven't got the size to compete, have they? Mm. I don't think they're physically ready to play Championship football week in, week out.
No. I think Casement, if he'd have grown 2 or 3 more inches, would have been a decent centre half.
Yeah. yeah.
But at the moment, he's not tall enough to be a centre half, and he's not a good enough footballer to be a right back, and at this level.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that people we get in have got to be an improvement on what we've got. Mm, yeah. I think what we've happened for the last 2 years is we're continuously bringing in people and expanding the squad, and they're all much of a matches. I'm not saying they're all bad players or poor players, but they don't seem to be an improvement on what we got. So we just get a huge great.
So you think
mix and match, just like John Duncan used to do many years ago. Mix and match all these tactics and teams around without actually any sign that we're making progress.
Yeah, I think that is the kind of the crux of the kind of anti-gym stuff before Christmas. Really, people looking at the team and thinking, and I agree with this to some extent. You look at the team that played against Preston, and you looked at the team that played home against Cardiff. And really, you couldn't see any progress from one performance to the next, could you?
No.
And that's half the season, really.
You just mentioned Stead there, didn't you? As I say,
Stead is not much better than Pablo.
Was he that much better than Alan Lee? It was probably good business, Alan Lee at 30 and the money and all the rest of it. But when you replace him with Stead and you think, was that a step forward? Or were you just literally replacing him with somebody the same, performance-wise?
I think that Stead was a panic buy, if anything. Mm. I mean, he may be a good player and he may ultimately score a lot of goals, but clearly they were looking for someone with a more with a better goal scoring record. The way that they were looking at Novakovic from Cologne, Harris Diaz, Nuremberg, and even Shadra Amiobi. They were looking for someone with a better pedigree.
But those,
and then they ended up with Stead last
night. There are goal scorers out there, aren't there? That's the problem. They're not available for picking up.
We have got money. I don't think there's any question. We've still got money to spend, because we were offering £3 million for players in the summer, and we didn't spend that money on anybody else. So I think it's still there. I know we can talk about the finances today with the club sending out the report, which says they made a £5 million loss, but I don't think anyone expected any difference.
No, that's not a
surprise at all.
It's an operating loss where the money's been given to buy the players, and then the business has got to pay for the players' wages, generally speaking, and obviously all the extras on there.
Well, we know that Marcus Evans is there to put money in, to back the squad to get in the Premiership, which is where he makes his money, and so in the short term, until we're in the Premiership, touch wood if there's any in here, we'll make an annual loss of probably £5 million this year. It'll be probably £10 million approaching £10 million next year. And
but that's not that different from any other team.
Anyone else.
The crunch comes when if we don't get promoted and he loses interest.
We'll see what happens next. anything else on the old thing?
Our man James Cummins. First year, Happy New Year to the panel. Thank you, James.
James.
Same to you. And 12 months ago, I'm trying to read these in sort of the order in which you lot are talking about it, so it sort of fits in. 12 months ago, Super Jim was telling anyone who cared to listen about several bids going in for the likes of McCauley and several hundred other bids going in for Norris. The fact that 12 months on, we've heard no concrete names from the manager. Do the panel think that he's finally learned that silence is golden when it comes to transfers, as this hopefully avoids paying over the odds this time for players?
Well, I mean, I think part of it's not talking to anyone in the press. I don't know. I mean, Norris, we paid over the odds, but the reason we paid over the odds was because Bolton had a 50% sell-on clause. Yeah. So Plymouth had to get money in that made it worthwhile to them. Yeah. So, and at the end of the day, which obviously inflated the price for David Norris, and if Jim wanted David Norris, then he was going to pay as much as he did, then he was going to have to pay that much. So he did. I think McCauley, we probably paid a right amount in the end, really, for a decent Championship defender who just signed a new deal. So, I don't know. I mean, there's two or three things to be said about mentioning players. You can unsettle players in their clubs by mentioning them.
That's a tactic, isn't it?
Make it more likely for you to land the player that you want. I mean, I certainly think that was the case with Norris, really. I think Ipswich were trying to unsettle him, and I think Ian Holloway, who was then at Leicester, was trying to do the same thing.
Yep.
So who can we unsettle this year? Can we unsettle anyone by this programme, do you think? That's Stephen Jett. No, we don't want him. Anyone else?
Yes, let me go. We'll do two on Chelsea now, as we've
Southend.
You've got to convince them we've got to play Southend. Jay from Linton in Cambridge, who's an All Saints season ticket holder. Just wondering what you think our chances are against Chelsea if they get through their replay. Any possibility of an upset at the Bridge, and if so, could it kickstart Town's disappointing league campaign?
I think we've got a better away record than Chelsea have home record at the moment, haven't we?
That is frightening.
I don't know. I wouldn't be confident.
No,
I think we'd put up a reasonable performance and probably lose 2-0 or something like that. I don't know.
It could be like the Chesterfield game, but us in the Chesterfield
the reverse.
Mm. I think Jim would actually look forward to a match where it doesn't matter, where we get beat 4-0, they're not going to turn around and say, oh, Jim's not cut out for it, because that would be what we expected. So it'd be nice to go into a match where there's no pressure.
No pressure, yeah.
I'm not sure a shock win against Chelsea would kickstart a league campaign. No. It might divert us even more if we're not careful.
Yeah. I can remember talking to Simon Milton many years ago, and he was talking about the game at Liverpool in the 92 season, you know, the year we went up, we won the championship. And when we lost at Liverpool, in the cup, he said that the spirit the next day at Portman Road, it was massively lifted just by the performance, really, rather than the result, because we actually lost. He said it really did kind of instill a sort of extra level of confidence into the squad. Yeah. So, you know, even in defeat, it can work out. But I think we're going to play Southend anyway, and then beat them 3-0.
Okay.
I'd rather go to Roots Hall than Stamford Bridge. I don't know if that just makes me odd. Parking thing.
Well, London's a bit more fun than Southend in the middle of winter, but anyway. Right, final one on Chelsea, I hope. Those today's message board has gone haywire with people after tickets if Chelsea play Town.
Yeah.
If they're true supporters who have season tickets, then there shouldn't be a problem getting a ticket, as we'll get around 6,000. What say you?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always the kind of people who do just come out for the big days out, don't they? I mean, otherwise, we wouldn't have taken 10,000 to the San Siro, would we? I don't know, all this kind of sort of, I don't know, what do we think about the people feeling more entitled than others? I think obviously if you went to, perhaps everyone, people should have come first to those who went to Sarted away, in Serbia, followed by people who went to, let's say, Burnley away on a Tuesday night and lost 4-0 a couple of years
ago. Doncaster
and the Carling Cup. And Barnsley last year.
Doncaster and the Carling Cup, I was there.
I mean, that's only 200, but those 200 should get a ticket guaranteed.
Yeah. The Newcastle game in the Carling Cup, when
Chester City in the FA Cup, I mean, that was a nice long day. That
So if anyone can produce all those tickets,
all those stubs, then you guarantee yourself a ticket. You've heard it from Phil.
Well, put it this way, I didn't go to the Chesterfield game, and I will not be going to either Southend or Chelsea, so it makes a difference to me.
Well, there you go. Yeah. But I mean, I think 6,000, I think if people aren't within the
always trying to do it, I think, with people that have been to the most away games
they're doing it out of the database, don't they?
They do have the database of who's bought the most away tickets for a different number of matches, and I think that shows the most regular away goers getting there first, but you're never going to get a fair way, and people are always going to argue.
Yeah, you can only aim for as fair as possible, and certainly I think it's fairer than it.
And you can't restrict it too much, because you don't want to turn around and say, we haven't been to a match before, you know, you shouldn't come.
No,
but as long as the people that are regular way goes getting there first, and
there'll always be some people who will have a complaint, but can't satisfy everybody. No.
That's true. What else we got there?
Right, two completely different subjects now. Paul Atkins, can only listen to the podcast, and I've only just caught up with that broadcast on the 18th of December. I don't think we actually did the other two. They seem to have got lost in the ether.
I don't think we got lost in the ether because you were away and I was ill.
Yeah. I don't know what Nick did or didn't do, but anyway. Lots of talk about the future of Jim and about when he may leave the club, etc., etc. One thing that wasn't mentioned was bringing in someone to assist him, which has now happened with JG. It's all initials, this one. Does the esteem panel think that ME may have been behind this? Did any of you see it coming? Is it good for the club? And what now for BK?
Well,
first you have to put all the names together.
BK Burger King.
Burger King.
I think that it was Jim. I think it's fairly clear it was Jim's choice. I can remember him saying some nice stuff about John Gorman some years ago when I spoke to him, because obviously he was here when Gorman was with assisting George Burley some years ago, and I'm told that people within the club and coaching staff are very welcoming of Gorman because he has got a massively good reputation. And whereas Jim does tend to have a bit of a reputation for giving people ear bashings, Gorman is more measured, I think, is the, and I think that the, you know, he'll be a good contrast. I also think that, and I think the club has already said that Brian Kluge is going to move to a developmental role with academy.
He can be in between where he was before. Before he was in charge of the academy, wasn't he? Getting the players ready to take the step in the reserves and then onwards. Now he's going to be the bridge between.
Which I think is a good thing because I think it protects. Because I think Brian Kluge is a kind of important figure in the club.
Competitive reserve matches to enable him to do the job. But once we've got that, then hopefully he'll get that stream of talent coming through again. Because we've got some good 16-year-olds apparently, haven't we? We've got that under 16 age group.
Billy Clark, people like that, and
Ronan Murray, and Connor Wickham, and
David Corley, I think, is quite a player, and Reggie Lennon, and Connor Wickham.
There's not a lot in between because we've not had competitive reserve matches for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Well, it's a problem with the reserves, isn't it? It's difficult.
Is it ever likely to change?
No, because it was actually David Sheepshanks himself. Yeah, I spoke to him about it. They're speaking to him about it, and he was saying, you've got the regionalised, so all the guys in the East Midlands, West Midlands, they're quite happy to just play around themselves. And in the north and right down south, right down north, they just don't want to travel, and they can't agree whether to split it in a northern reserve league and a southern reserve league, or an eastern and a west. So, you know, the likes of us and Norwich and even Colchester and Southend, who, you know, play a decent reserve level, they've got no competition to play against. So it is just arrange a friendly against Spurs here and there sort of thing.
So the key really is to get back in the Premier League again, like everything else.
And then
really,
we'll be allowed back in the
Premier League. I mean, it was a proposal from Spurs, I think, and David Pleat to kick out the likes of ourselves because
we provide better opposition than a lot of the other Premier League teams at reserve level.
Well, I mean, the other thing, I mean, you watch Premier League reserves and you haven't heard of most of the players. No. They are basically that age group you were talking about, between academy and sort of first team.
17, 18, 19 age group, aren't they? The ones that haven't quite broken into the first team,
but are too
old to be kicking around in academy.
Yeah. So I think it's a good thing from Brian Clough's perspective, because I suspect that if and when the day comes that Jim is out the door... because Brian Kluge is seen as kind of academy or rather young players the sort of deeper lying coaching staff. I suspect
in the ideal world, and obviously with the financial situation it was at the time, that it wasn't practical, that's what should have happened when Jim was appointed.
Yeah.
He should have had a senior experienced coach of somebody.
Brian Kluge was supposed to be that, and Charlie
really
Woods
that much experience as a sort of with dealing with sort of what you might call professionals.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And Charlie Woods was more he's a consultant type.
Yeah.
But I think that would have helped. The finances didn't matter.
He wasn't adverse to the idea of not a director of football, but that kind of that overseeing role. That person that he could go and talk to in confidence.
But the problem is once you've got a manager installed in that way, you can't parachute someone in above him. So I think the situation of him bringing somebody in who he's had dealings with before and who is quite, you know, is what is he, 59, John Gorman? who isn't seen as a threat. And I don't think he's interested in a management job anyway, particularly at this time of his
career.
Is sort of an ideal scenario. And we saw with George Burley era that he brought in Brian Hamilton and then Stuart Houston and then Gorman again to sort of change things a bit on the training ground, and I think that worked quite well. And I think,
of course, the interesting thing is, you know, will it have an effect? Will we see an effect between now and the end of the season? Hopefully, we will.
Well, we will. I mean, I think Gorman's contract is presumably to the end of the season, which might kind of
can't say anything radical, but I think it will just bring a more measured approach, a more thinking approach.
Well, that's it. And we want to see at the end of it all, by the end of the season. Look as if we know where we're going forward again.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to look at season ticket sales for next year and this sort of thing, they'll need to, between now and the end of the season, to look at, you know, as if they know what they're doing.
I think there's no doubt that clearly things have not gone particularly well during the first half of the season, and the introduction of John Gorman is to help push things in the right direction.
Right.
Go on, Graham. Quick
last email here. This is for you, Phil. Quite a serious one here. Is Phil Ham not concerned about the number of insulting comments made towards Jim Magilton and some of the players in the various fans bit of the website? In particular, lots of people use the Your Match Report, in quotes, section as a chance to hurl abuse when they've not even been to the match. I've noticed that as well. Some say I've just got back from Charlton and it's 10-5. You know?
Yeah, it's 10-5, isn't it?
I fully understand people's frustrations, but surely personal abuse and tedious repeated insults shouldn't have no place on TWTD.
Yeah, it's true. It has got kind of...
personal.
I'm quite surprised how personal it's got towards Jim, actually, because of the fact that of who he is and what he achieved as a player.
And the whole town fans are reserved, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, we do remove stuff when people kind of... It's impossible to kind of keep a... impossible to keep kind of abreast of everything that's being said everywhere on the site, because obviously it's quite a lot of... stuff, but if people alert us to stuff that they see as unacceptable, and there are kind of button clicky things on each page on each post, then by all means do so. But I'm surprised that people have got quite so kind of
venomous
towards someone who, you know, regardless of his failings as a manager or perceived failings as a manager, did a lot for the club as a player.
It's very difficult because I don't even see where the venom's coming from, because he's, you know, it's mediocrity. That's what it is. It's a bit depressing. The football's not great, and we're just average. Yeah. He's not taking us down. We're not floating just above the relegation zone. He's not selling star players for peanuts and then getting in rubbish. He's just doing a very, very average job. And the actual abuse he's getting isn't average. I mean, it's a bit over the top.
Mm. I think it's over.
I wouldn't, you know, personally, I wouldn't disagree if he went tomorrow and somebody else came in. I wouldn't say it was a bad move, and it probably would be the right one. But I'm not going to call for his head, and I think that's most town fans' views. So it's quite disturbing to see that some are being abusive in that way.
And to some extent, on the terraces, it's not quite as abusive in as much as you're not getting chance of...
Well, I suspect half the Beatles have... They're not at the game, you see.
That is the problem.
And it's very easy, you see, because most of these people, as far as I can make out, I study it closely, but they do it under the cloak of anonymity. This is my big bugbear. I think there should be a law that says anybody who wants to do has to put the proper name on it. That would curb a few people.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I don't know it is, but they ought to be made.
Well, I just blame Phil anyway. I mean, he incites them, obviously, with what he posts on there, with his match reports.
Indeed.
Right, do you want to quickly do a prediction for Saturday, and then we have to go... Terence?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. They've got a lot of injuries, Sheffield Wednesday, haven't they?
Old thingy's back, though, isn't he? Old Fox in the Box.
Franny Jaffers.
He's bound to score, so better change that to 2-1.
It's ironic of him to be fit when they haven't got any other players who are.
Yeah, 2-0, I think.
So I'll go 2-0 as well.
Yeah,
just to, for complete. Yeah,
we're floating around.
Well, I'll go 2-1 just because if Jeffers plays, he's bound to score.
Own goal.
Yeah, Jeffers own goal. And on that shocker. Thanks everyone. Thanks to Terry. Thanks to David James, the England goalkeeper. Thanks, of course, to Phil. Till next week, do have a good one and a happy New Year to all. I don't want to go to Chelsea.